I went to a Christian private college, and so one of the rules that we had in that college was that no boys were allowed in girls' dorms, no girls were allowed in boys' dorms. I don't know if that was the case in your colleges or not, but that was definitely the case in my college. So to try and allow for, I don't know, more interaction, there was what we called open dorm, which meant one day a week, the different dorm, like girls' dorms, would be like, you can come, boys are allowed to come into a girls' dorm this night for like these many hours, so that you could be like, go to a girlfriend's room or something, I don't know. But I just found them annoying, honestly, because my roommate was friends with all these girls that I all found very annoying. And yes, I really did. And so there was like this pack of them, I mean like 10 to 15 of them, that like all loved hanging out with my roommate, and I was in the room and, you know, just like trying to hang out, and then open dorm would come and I'd forget it'd be open dorm. And they would all come in, and all of a sudden I'd be like, oh my goodness. And every time open dorm came, I was like, okay. And I just trying to like, you know, put my headphones on or something and just like make it through the night until they could like leave, and I'd be like counting my out, like the clock, like, how soon does this end? Like, can we please kick them back out? But one night I remember everybody comes in, they're all coming in, and I was like, oh no, it's that night again. And thankfully, my floor, there was a like a normal like hallway entrance and exit to our hallway, and then there was a bathroom, and right next to the bathroom was kind of like the laundry room plus sneaky exit to outside. And so they were all, you know, they would want to talk to me and all this stuff, and I was like, oh wait, I got to go to the bathroom. Like, oh, okay. And they see me walking down the hall, and then I just snuck out and literally bolted out of the room and out of the dorm and just like went for a walk. And I was like, I have to get out of here. So I never even came back that night. And then later they were like, where did you go? I was like, oh, sorry, I have to leave. And but there are times like that, right, where you just feel like I have got to get away. And today I wanted us to take a look at a time when Jesus is like, I have got to get away. And so we're going to take a look at Mark chapter 1. And we're going to pick it up in verse 29. So Mark chapter 1, verse 29. And this is kind of in the early stages of Jesus' ministry. And so he already has some followers and disciples, but I'm going to read it here from Mark 1, 29. This is what it says. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. So, looking at what's happening here, basically, Jesus is doing a lot of ministry. Actually, before that, he was doing ministry, and he's going to the home of one of his disciples, and he gets there, and they're wanting to eat, really, and the mother-in-law, who would have traditionally been cooking the meal, is sick. So he heals her, and then she starts cooking, and then he keeps doing ministry after the meal. And literally, into the evening, they're healing everybody who's being brought to him, casting out demons, healing the sick, just doing hours of ministry, which for anybody who's ever prayed over people like in a healing service or this kind of stuff is exhausting. It's a long time of ministry. All this stuff is happening. You hear all that into the evening. He's healing many people. Then they're bedding down that night in that house. So they're all sleeping there. So a bunch of people sleeping together. And then it says very early in the morning while it was still dark. So basically before the sun has risen, Jesus gets up, everybody else is still asleep, he gets out of the house and goes to a solitary place. Sometimes it's described in some versions as like a desolate place, or the place is solitude. Basically what it means is a place people do not go, like a place that is not frequented, somewhere where people do not inhabit, where people would not think to look for Jesus. So he goes to this place, and then basically when the disciples wake up, they look over and like, where's Jesus? And then they basically start like a manhunt, where they just spread out and are like looking for him. And they go out and they're looking, where is Jesus? They're, you know, looking in probably all the suspected places, whatever that may be, maybe where he could get food or something, and they're not finding him. And then finally they get to where he is in this secluded, desolate place where nobody else would normally go, and they find Jesus, and they're like, where have you been? We've been looking for you. Everybody's been looking for you. Everybody wants to see you. And Jesus actually doesn't really answer that. He goes, hey, guys, it's time to move on. So even all those people who are looking for us, we're not dealing with them. We're just going to move on to somewhere else because that's why I've come. And that's kind of what is happening here. I think before we go further into this text, we have to realize a theological truth, and that is that we know this, but I think sometimes we don't really get this, is that Jesus is fully God, but Jesus is also fully man. We say that sometimes theologically, and we get that, but do we really understand that? Because see, when we say Jesus is fully God, we get, okay, he's God. But when we say he's fully man, it means that an easy way to describe this is that he does not operate out of his divinity. Okay, so what that means is this. So when you hear him doing all these miracles and all these, like, casting out of demons and all that stuff, it means he's not doing that because he's God. He's doing that out of a Holy Spirit anointed and empowered humanity, which means it's fully human through the empowerment of God doing it, not out of just because I'm God. It might seem like semantics, but it's not. The difference is you and I are not God, but you and I are humans who can be filled with the Holy Spirit and do the same kinds of work that God did, that Jesus did. And so when he says, I've done all this ministry, he's not doing it just because he's God. See, often when I read this before I understood this, then what I'm hearing when I see Jesus doing all this ministry, my brain is just saying, well, of course Jesus did ministry. He's God. It's easy for him. It's no big deal. Of course he's got that. And so when they hear Jesus say things like, hey, it's time for us to move on to the next place, I'm like, well, of course he knows what he's doing. He's God. He knows everything. But we have to remember that when Jesus was on earth, he operated and lived out of his humanity, not his divinity. And so while he is fully God, he operates out of his humanity. It says it this way in Philippians 2. He says, he's talking about Jesus. It says, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And it goes on to describe more things. But that picture there, is showing us how Jesus, to become fully man, became fully man and became nothing and operates as a man. This is important for us because now if we begin to get that, we begin to see Jesus' life through eyes that say, well, this isn't just like something unattainable. Yes, Jesus never sinned, so there is a level of clear connection and things that Jesus had that we do not have, but him healing people, him operating the way he does is not just like some ideal out there. He's actually showing us a pattern of life that's saying, you can follow me. You can do these things. And actually, John 14, he says, you will do even greater things than I have been doing. Things like casting out demons and doing these things. The reason I'm harping on this is that if we understand that Jesus is fully human, and while he is fully God, but he's getting the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and he's done this ministry, and then he goes out to pray, it helps us understand why he goes out to pray. See, it says very early in the morning, he gets up and goes somewhere where people will not think to look for him. Why? Because he needs God. He needs to be restored. He needs to hear from the Father, what are you doing? What is the next thing you have for me? What is my assignment? We just healed all these people. All these people around me, all these people are looking to me. They're coming to me. There's great ministry happening right here. And I think Jesus is literally saying, I need to get out. It's not even I need to get out. What he's really saying is, I need to hear from God. But what's next? I need to receive from God restoration for my soul because I've just poured out all of this energy and effort as I've been healing people and praying for people and dealing with people, and I need God. And Jesus recognized that so deeply that he says, I will get up before it's even light, and I will walk somewhere far enough out in a way where people will not think to look for me. Why? Because I need God. Because I cannot do this on my own. I need to spend this time with God. And so he gets out. And actually, there's a theme of this. If you actually read through the Gospels, if you read through the story of Jesus, you will see time and time again that there are similar instances like this where Jesus does ministry, and then he will go off to be by himself, climb a mountain, go to a secluded, desolate place. Why? Because he wants to spend time with God. And I really believe firmly that he's doing it because in his spirit-filled humanity, he recognizes, I cannot do this on my own, and I need God. Now, think the reason why he goes to the desolate place, because I've heard people kind of say things, and we're kind of talking about solitude and listening to God today. But often when we hear that, we think of these like, okay, it's some amazing place, some mountaintop, some, you know, monastery or some other place that we're going to, and this is some important part of this. And while there is some truth that those things help, I really think what this is that Jesus is really, the focus is, I need to be with God. And I need to receive from God and hear from God and listen to God and know what is next and be restored. But he's literally in a house full of people. And his day job is literally being followed by at least 12, if not hordes of people, everywhere he goes. And so I think Jesus knew, he thought, if I am going to actually be able to have any amount of significant time to hear from God, then I must get away from people, because otherwise the distractions and the things of this life will crowd out my time to actually pray and hear from God. And I need that so desperately, I get up and go to a place where they will not easily find me, just so I can have some extra time. That's what's going on here. Is Jesus is saying, I need God so much, I will go to a desolate place because I need to not be distracted. Now, if Jesus needs God that much, how much do we need? We need him so much. We need to hear from God. We need to receive from God, to be restored by God. The sad reality is that for most of us, we're not hearing from God well. We're not receiving restoration from God well because we're too busy, too distracted, too many things in our life. In a lot of ways, I feel like we feel kind of like Jesus must have felt in this house, being like, there's people all around me. There's all these concerns around me. There's technology. There's all these things constantly inundating my life, and I don't know when I would even find the time to hear from God. And so we just feel like it's too much. And so then often we'll say, well, I got like 5 minutes of prayer or 15 minutes. It's good. You know, we'll get it in there and we'll read the Bible and we'll do some praying. But I think even the kind of prayer that Jesus is doing here is different. It's I just need to go here. See, I think a lot of times when we get alone with God to pray, it's a lot of me talking to God. It's a lot of me telling God all the reasons or all the things in my life that I need, all the things in my life that I want. Maybe it's even for some of us who are a little bit more grateful, who are like, hey, God, here's all the things I'm so happy about. But you know what that is? That's a lot of me talking to God. That's not me listening. It's not me receiving. And so even if I've got 10 minutes of prayer, but all I'm doing is doing, I'm the one doing all the talking, then I haven't actually been listening or receiving anything from God. So often I don't actually feel any more peace in my heart because I haven't actually received from God. And prayer is really about talking to God. So part of that in a conversation is two-way, right? Or unless, you know, we all know those people who you go to talk to them and you know, like, I know you really well and you don't know me at all because you never shut up and I never get to say anything. I think God feels that way a lot. Honestly, I feel like God feels that way a lot because we're constantly won't shut up. And then when we're done, we're like, okay, peace out, God, I'm done. And we're like, God's like, wait. I have so much I want to tell you. I have so much I want to give you. I have so much I want to do for you. Will you wait a moment and receive it? Will you wait to hear it? But often we don't. I think part of the problem when it comes to this idea of solitude is that I know for me when people would talk about this, like I said, it's always this idea of like, you know, you'd hear some pastor be like, oh, this is how you do solitude. I'm like, I would go for a weekend retreat for like, you know, every month and do all these things. And I just sit there and be like, I can't do that. It is not physically possible for me to do that. So as they talk about it, I'm just like, well, since I can't do that, I guess there's no point in doing any of this. And so it just kind of like goes over my head because I'm like, well, I can't do that. I know for me, I especially felt that way because I have two brothers. As far as I can remember, I've always known that I had two brothers. They're close enough in age, so it wasn't like I ever knew like life by myself or anything. And I'm the middle child, so there's always a brother. And we always shared a room, like all three of us. So I was always with them, okay? Then I went to boarding school at like fourth grade. So it was like, what, like nine or something, right? So, and then when I was in that first dorm, there was at least 20 other kids constantly around, right? Plus RAs and parents and stuff like that. Then I went to a boarding school. Then I went to, like, got a little bit older. Then there was 40 boys that I was constantly around. So then now I'm married with five kids. So there's always people constantly around. And I love that. I really do. But I know I'm always like, if I'm thinking about my day, I'm like, there's never a moment that I'm alone. I remember one time, now that I have five kids, and I was like, I just need to like, those of you who have kids, you'll get this. We're just like, I just need like 5 minutes. Like, please, I'm going to go crazy. And like my wife was in our bedroom and doing something else, and the kids were like running all over the house. So I went and like snuck into like one of the kids' like closets and just kind of like hid out. And I was just like, I need some space. And then some kid just like, hey, daddy's in the closet. I was like, oh, come on. Like, I didn't know why, but I was just like, all right, well, that didn't work, you know? So I get it when it's like, I'm never alone. So for this solitude piece to be something that's like, if I'm going to make time to hear from God, this has to be a very conscious decision. But I live in a schedule that means I'm not going to get these great weekend retreat stuff. I mean, the first time I really experienced solitude, I was actually on this great retreat, and I was in college, and they actually mandated. They said, on this Saturday, for 7 hours, all you can do is be quiet before God. And I was like, that sounds crazy. I actually loved it, but that, I'm like, I can't recreate this. I can't just take 7 hours every day or every weekend or even every month to just be by myself. My wife would probably throw a fit. So then I started thinking, what can I do? And actually, I began to realize, even as a kid, so even before I even knew what I was starting to do, but because I was always around people, I began to say, okay, I just need some space to like process my day and try to hear from God and all of that. And I realized there was a space, even as a kid, where no one ever bothered me and no one would ever join me when I took a shower. Which sounds funny, but actually, it has served me so well because now I've realized, now as a kid, I didn't really get like the praying and hearing from God so much. It was really just like, I'm alone. This is good. But as I got a little bit older, I began to realize, wait, this time that I would spend, now I can go into the shower and just say, God, I want to hear from you. So my water bill's a little higher than it probably should be, but I covet that time. Because nobody's bothering me in the shower. And so I can go into the shower, and not that every day it's like this, but when I remember to do this, that I can go in and just go before God and say, God, would you speak to me? And then I can shower and just in silence listen to God and receive from him. And maybe that's 5 minutes, maybe that's 10 minutes, but you know what? That 10 minutes does so much for my heart, and it does so much for my soul. The reason I'm sharing this shower story is that I believe that there is places in all of our lives that if we say, look, where is the spot that I could have to myself, that I could carve out, whether that's 5 minutes, 10 minutes daily, that I could say I could be alone with God and hear from God. And if that's where you can start, great. Don't knock it. If you make space in your life to hear from God regularly, it will begin to transform you. I think one of the, honestly, it sounds like way too easy, but this is such a powerful and transforming thing in our lives, but it's so difficult. You know why? Because so many of us, we like to produce things. So it's actually really hard to just sit and say, I'm not going to say anything or do anything. I'm going to sit here and try to hear from God. I'm just going to listen. And some of you might, oh, that's easy, but especially for those of us who like to do things, or maybe who are a little bit like more want to be with people and things, to just be alone and not actually do anything, but be in God's presence and listen, and to do that for a prolonged period of time can be one of the hardest things you ever do. I know, because sometimes, you know, if you sit in silence for like a minute, you're like, wow. Some people, like I've known, the first time somebody did this to me, like the guy said, we're going to set a timer for 10 minutes. And I had my watch on me, and I was quiet, and I was alone. I was like, all right. And then I looked at my, I was like, man, that was a great hour. It must have been an hour. I looked at my watch, and I was like, it's been 2 minutes. And I was like, okay, what are we going to do with the next time period here? But it also gets easier. The more you just make it a point to do this, the more you recognize, I need this. It's essential for my life. And it becomes something that just becomes a peaceful, restorative part of your life where you say, how did I ever live without this? And so, if Jesus needed to get away, we need to get away. We need this. We need to hear from God. For those of you who are married, I just want to, especially with kids, I just want to encourage you to figure this out as a couple. This might mean some creative thinking of saying, you know what? I will be on duty for this next period so you can go do this, and then we'll switch. Switching is the important part there. Give both people equal chance. Because sometimes, I know I have kids, like I said, we use our kids as the excuse for everything. Why I don't have enough time, why I don't have this. But there's time. Another reality, other than just finding that already natural things like a shower that you could just devote to God, part of this is, what is it that's in our life that doesn't need to be there? We're all so busy. And if we're honest, a lot of us are busy with great things, but there's a lot of things in our life that you could say, I don't need that. I feel like I want that. I feel like I need that, but I don't need it. I love to play games of any kind. Doesn't matter, board game, sports game, doesn't matter, any kind of game. And when I first got a new smartphone, I realized, oh, there's a whole bunch of games you can play on your phone. So I got some games on my phone. And then I started playing these games, like a lot. But not like crazy amounts, but you know, if you sit down and you're just like, you've got 5 minutes before something, oh, let me just pull out the game, and you're playing the game. Eventually I started realizing, I'm on this way more than I thought I was. Like so much. And then I just felt like God was like, get off the phone. And you know what was interesting? I realized that when I actually deleted these apps from my phone, that a lot of those 5 minutes between things, I began to hear from God. Because I wasn't constantly just like, oh, I've got 5 minutes where I'm waiting around. I'm just going to pull up my phone because I don't know what else to do with myself. And I just began to say, no, I can't be on my phone. So, hey, God, what's up? Now, sometimes nothing happened. But sometimes God would reveal himself to me and really speak to me. But for those of us who are addicted to our phone, which I know some people here are like, just thinking of youth. I'm not thinking of youth, although youth, this is for you as well. But for your parents as well, and adults and everyone, we have a problem. Their phones, technology, it's great, but it also has become such a thing, a part of our lives, that we don't know how to turn it off. And So what I'm saying with this solitude piece is there are things in your life that you can let go of, that you need to let go of because you need to make more time for this. Because if Jesus needed it, we need it more. We need to hear from God. We need to receive the restorative work of God's Spirit on our lives. Just even to make it through the day, but also so that we know what comes next. If you see in this story here that happens, he goes and he spends time with God. He comes back and they're like, hey, we're ready to do more stuff here. Everybody's been looking for you. And Jesus says, what? No, we're not doing anything here. We're going away to the next place because that's the mission we're on. And I believe it's the mission that he just received through the Spirit while he was praying. How many of us are missing what God has in store for us because we're not taking time to listen? I don't know how many people I've talked to over the years who will come and talk to me and go, I don't know what God wants me to do with my life. And then when I start asking some questions, it's clear they're not listening. They do a lot of talking. It goes like this. God, what do you want me to do with my life? God, what do you want me to do with my life? And then it's, okay, I'm going to go on my phone now. We have to listen. We have to make space. So what needs to go? What are you going to let go of? And I picked on technology, but it could be anything. You know, you look at your life, ask the Lord. And honestly, that's where I would start. I would start with ask the Lord. Say, God, what do you want me to let go of? What do you want me to get rid of on my schedule that needs to go? And he'll tell you, if you listen. But also for some of us, it's just, what are already the things in life that you could say, this is where I'm alone? I'll give you another example. Now, for some of you, this won't work because you get really upset here, but driving. I know for many DC traffic, you're like, this is not my godly hour. This is where I need Jesus in a different way. But for those who are like, you know what, driving, it doesn't bother me. Driving can become a time where sometimes I know I'm driving on the road and I like to listen to music and stuff, but sometimes I just even feel God saying, I want to speak to you. So I turn everything off and I'm just, nobody, this is when I'm alone, okay? With the five kids in the car, forget it, okay? But if I'm alone in the car, it's a time where I'm already doing this, I'm between things, but I can give that time to God and I can hear from God. And I receive from God, there's a moment. Another example for you is, I'm an MK, I'm a missionary kid. I grew up traveling all the time. There's a nostalgic piece to me to airports. I know you might think that's crazy, but I actually love being in an airport. So I went to a conference a couple weeks ago, and I actually had to spend, because of layovers and stuff, basically a whole day in airports, and I loved it. Nobody knew me in the airport. Nobody was around there. It feels comfortable to me. And I just got to spend time with God in the airport. So yes, obviously there's tons of people around. I'm not actually away from people. But for me, I might as well have been. So what I'm saying is, what are the things in your life that are already there that you could say, I could turn this over to God and make this a time where I listen because I am basically alone and I could hear well from God? Because I won't be distracted. And that's the key. A place where you won't be easily distracted. And you'll be able to focus and listen to God. Because we need this. I really want you to understand, this is not something that I'm here saying, like, just another thing to do. No, I'm just saying, this is pivotal to your life and your soul. So we need this. And it shouldn't just be one more thing, oh, I got to do this. It should be, wow, I need Jesus. And I need to hear from you. And so I actually need to do some less stuff so I can hear more and make space for that. And there's a whole nother thing about hearing from God and what that looks like and getting better at that. But we can have those conversations later. I'm sure many of the pastors or elders or people would love to talk to you if you feel like you have no idea what it looks like to hear from God. But we need this. So What we're going to do today, actually, is instead of just talking about this, I'm going to give us a little bit of time to practice. So I'm actually going to set a timer for 5 minutes. And what I'm actually asking you to do is for 5 minutes, and in a moment, like I'll say go in a sense, but if you want, you could get up and move around the room if you want to be a little farther away from somebody else, or you can stay exactly where you are. That's fine as well. But we're going to practice listening in solitude. And so what I'm asking you to do is this, is you're not giving your list to God. Okay, so you're not praying and saying, God, here's all the things I'm happy about. Here's all the things I'm upset about. You're not saying, God, could you do these things for me? We're simply saying, I'm here. Speak to me. And I will listen. I just want to be clear. Sometimes when you do this, your mind is full of stuff. So you're going to hear just all your own thoughts. That's okay. I once had it described like this. If it's like if you have a pool of water and you drop a pebble in it, there's all those ripples and stuff, and it takes a while for it to settle so that it becomes clear. So if you've never tried to be silent before God, you will not hear God to begin with. You will hear your own thoughts. That's okay. You start with where you're at. But as you begin to allow the thoughts just to go, don't fight the thoughts, just let them go. Try to be at peace and say, God, I want to hear you. And just keep saying, God, I want to hear you. And listen, eventually as you do this, you will begin to hear from God. Does that make sense? Okay. So, while I pray, if you would like to get up and move, why don't you do that? But I'll just pray for us as we start, and then I'm literally going to look at a clock. And when the time is up, I will close the time in prayer, and then we'll sing some songs. But this is literally going to be a time of silence. So I would just encourage you, don't talk. Don't get on your phone. Just hear from God. So God, we just come to you, and we say that we need you. God, we say that we want to hear you. God, even for many of us, we confess that we don't have the first clue how to do this. But we recognize that if Jesus needed to have time alone with you, we desperately need time alone with you. Because our hearts are heavy. Our lives are too busy. And we're hurting. And we need to hear from our Father. We need to hear about how much you love us. We need to hear your direction for our lives. And we're sorry for how little we listen. But God, today would you help us to begin to practice the discipline of solitude and listening. And so we want to give you this time right now to just say, God, would you speak to us right where we're at? Thank you that you always deal with us right where we're at. That you're always there. God, we ask that you would continue to help us to learn, to practice, to walk out, listening to you. Would you continue to show us the areas in our life that we can begin to give to you so that we might receive from you all that you have.